I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm a Truthican. And the truth, as I see it, is that we've been divided in this country by design by people who benefit from that division. And it's not going to turn out well for 99% of us unless we all come together as one human race, realize we have all the power, and tell the establishment to go fuck themselves.
Before Trump won, then everybody was like, these election machines are all fucked up. They shouldn't be connected to the internet, and why are there computers inside them when they just gotta count shit? But then Biden won, and they were like, no, they're fine now.
If you're not smart enough to be my friend, fuck you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Truth Again Podcast. This is episode 85, my good buddy Mike Baldwin. If you're not familiar with the podcast, we think that the deep state is real. We think that our government is essentially a crime syndicate, and we love the country. It's not that we hate America or anything like that. We just don't really like the government, and we think that's mainly why they want to get rid of Trump so bad, is because he's exposed just how gross and dirty and corrupt they are, and they can't have that. So a lot of stuff going on as always. How you doing, Mike? Look how skinny you're getting, dude.
Well, I guess we've had an episode since I trimmed my beard, but yeah, I'm plateauing a little bit. Like I lost a bunch of weight early in the beginning, and lately it's been like a half a pound a week or something like that, which is fine. I'm still staying the same or going down, but I should have just said thank you. Thank you.
That's all right. I understand.
I get mad at my grandma because she doesn't take compliments very well, and I'm the exact same way. And my favorite thing that my grandma does, I'll say like a long sentence. I'll be like, you know, like this steak that you made is really good. And every time the sentence is a compliment, she responds by going, huh? And so then I have to say it again. It's just like her natural thing of like, compliment me two times in a row, please.
Yeah, I wrote a clean joke recently. It's not really that great of a joke, I guess. But one of my biggest pet peeves is repeating myself. And my little boy's favorite thing to do is go, what did you say? And I'm like, I don't really mind that much because he's just a little kid and he's my son and I love him more than anything. But there are times I'm like, you heard me. I know you fucking heard me, you know? So I'm not a big fan though of repeating myself. Sometimes my wife will go, what? And I'm like,
especially if it's just like, if it's something funny, you know, like funny has to be in the moment.
Yeah.
I hate like if I say something funny to one person and then three other people join the group and the person's like, say what you just said. And I'm always like, no, I won't. I refuse to be your puppet.
Yeah, it's never as funny the second time. And it's never as funny when you think too much about it before you say it either.
Yeah, that's true. But go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've known that since I was a little kid, like in school. Like if I waited too long to say something, it was never as funny.
Yeah.
And it's just like if you say a joke on stage and somebody doesn't hear it correctly or it gets messed up and you can't do the joke, then someone's like, just do it. And I'm like, no, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's over. Yeah.
Audience members will often be like, just do it anyway.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, you asked for it. No, I was always guilty of like in class in high school or whatever, like a person next to me would like just quietly to me make a joke and then I would verbatim repeat what they just said to me out loud in front of the whole class and get like a big laugh. And I don't know if the person was like, damn it, why did he do that? I should have done that. Or if they were like, that's cool that he took the thing that I said and made everybody laugh with it. But I was too shy to say it out loud, so I'm glad he was here.
Yeah, probably depends on the person, and they probably wouldn't have gotten a laugh because sometimes you just gotta. It's the way. It's how you say it. It's not necessarily what you say a lot of times.
Oh yeah, that's 95% of my material is stuff that, if you read it, you're just like, well, yeah, that's a completely normal declarative statement. but when I say it on stage, it gets a laugh for whatever reason. And I'm just like, I've gotten past questioning it. I'm just like, all right, that's just how I do comedy. I just say things that I think. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. And that's part of the whole, comedy deal, you know, like some things aren't funny at all off stage that are funny on stage. Like if somebody tries to like, tell me one of your jokes, I'm like, it's not going to be funny this way. You know, it's just not how it works. You know,
no, I've tried 1,000 times and people are always like, all right. And I'm like, it's funny on stage, I promise. And they're like, no, I can see how that's funny. And I'm just like, damn it, why did I even try? I've learned to just say, I'm off the clock right now.
Yeah, this is kind of different, but it reminded me of one time I was on a plane and this lady sitting next to me, you know, I told her that I was a comedian or whatever. And she's like, oh, I'd love to hear some of your stuff. And she was like, do you have any, you know, and I was new enough to comedy that I was like, yeah, here's I had like a 30-minute set or something. And she wanted to hear it. So I let her hear it. I let her listen to it like in headphones. And it was the most awkward freaking 30 minutes of my life. Like she was barely, every now and again she'd laugh, but you could tell it was just like, she was just trying to not be a dick about it, but you could tell she didn't think any of it was funny. So she'd do like this fake laugh every now and again, like, you know, and I'm just like, oh, will you please just stop listening to this? It was freaking brutal, man.
Yeah, that makes me slightly uncomfortable. But also, like, I don't remember where I said this, but I like when people can play music and I like when people can sing. And I love watching like performances, you know, but what I don't like is if it's just me and another person and they're like, you want to hear a song? I'm like, absolutely not. Like, I don't want to watch a performance of just you when it's just me. And that relates to whatever we were talking about before that.
Yeah. And the worst thing about that lady listening to my set is she didn't listen to the whole thing before she stopped. And I was just like, God, this is brutal. I just ate it in front of a lady sitting next to me.
But that was my point. Maybe if she had been listening by herself without you being there, being like you should have laughed by now. I know there's like a punchline that most people would laugh at, but whatever.
Yeah, it would be awkward for her too, I would imagine, but she asked for it, so I was dumb enough to let her listen to it.
Yeah, now you would never do that.
No.
I forget who said it, but I do the same thing where people are like, what do you do? And I'm just like, I paint houses. And then people just don't really ask any questions. Sometimes they'll say interior or exterior, and then you gotta be quick with a lie. Just depends how I feel that day, whether I'm an interior or exterior painter.
I've told people that I was an adult entertainer before.
They're like, oh, is there anything I've seen you in? And you're just like, yeah, a stepbrother does sister, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the deal with that is. Like, not to get all Seinfeld or whatever, but what's the deal with stepbrother porn? Like, there's got to be a... They say, I forget what it's called, it's like Rule 34 or something like that, that says basically any idea or concept that you can think of already exists in porn somewhere or something like that. I don't remember what the exact rule is, but like, so there's only two ways that you can get stepbrother porn to be popular. Either people were requesting stepbrother porn and the industry made it because of the fervor or whatever, or the industry was like, let's try this, and people got into it. But yeah. I wonder if it's leading to like actual step families fucking one another or attempting, one of them attempts to, and it's like, what? It's what I saw on the internet. It's all I know.
I had a buddy who had a girlfriend and they were pretty serious, and then their parents ended up getting married And all of a sudden, this girl who was his girlfriend became his stepsister. And I don't know if they ever messed around or anything, but I remember thinking that would be super freaking weird. That guy has since passed away. He's a friend of mine when I was a kid. He ended up getting some kind of disease his mom had. But
terrible run of events for that guy.
Yeah, no kidding. Like the love of his life becomes his stepsister, and then he dies early. But
I heard a story of a couple, a guy and a girl, they'd been dating for like 5 years. Then they did an ancestry test, and they found out they were biological brother and sister. They were both adopted. And they said, like, everybody was always like, you guys look like brother and sister. And they're just like, ha ha, you know, whatever. So, yeah, that would suck. Because, like, you can't just, I don't know what you would do. You would just be like, all right, well, we got to break up. And just, but you still have to, like, your brother and sister. So you still have to do family stuff together and, like, go place. It would just be so weird.
Yeah. Especially if alcohol is involved and you're like, we've already done it. Let's just get in there.
Well, for 5 years, I mean, they've done everything. Like, anything that you can imagine, like, this couple has probably done together. And now they're just like, all right, well, we're brother and sister.
Yeah. Very weird.
Yeah, but anyway, we've got all the stuff you said, plus there was a dude got shot in Chicago. At least weeks, maybe months ago, and the like body cam footage of that came out from a few different angles. It's pretty gnarly. There was a crazy lady that said Trump is a Nazi, and she got all excited about it. We have that video. Rand Paul talking about COVID origins. The envelope thing from the Bush senior funeral. We have a video of that with the volume lowered because it's just stupid music in the background. And what else? Oh, there was a bridge that collapsed, but not the car kind, just the people kind.
Okay. Speaking of that, I mean, maybe we should just talk about it after the video that we're going to see with the guy getting shot. But it kind of reminds me of the fact that OJ died yesterday or today or whenever it happened, but I saw a video before we did today's podcast, this lady from the OJ jury saying that 90% of the jurors, I mean, that's the number she threw out, said that they knew OJ had done it, but they found him not guilty in as revenge for the whole, what was it? A couple years, the Rodney King riots. She said it was revenge for the Rodney King riots. And basically, you know, they were in a pretty awful position. First of all, I can't believe they had the trial where they did. But you can't be on that jury and then go back to your neighborhood, if it's a black neighborhood, and be like, yeah, we're the ones who decided OJ was guilty. You know, they would be shunned in their in their neighborhoods, you know. I mean, he was a huge, well, the funny thing is though, he was pretty anti, I don't want to say anti-black, but he was, all he did was hang out with white people, and reportedly when he came back from like the getting arrested or whatever, to his house, he goes, what are all these N-words doing here? Like he wasn't a man of his people necessarily, you know, he just happened to be black. So I don't know. I just thought that was interesting.
That's an interesting, like thought road to go down. I just watched, For All Mankind. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's on Apple TV. It's like an alternate history show based on what if the Russians had landed on the moon before the United States? Like, how would things be different or whatever? And it's really good. But that made me think about, damn it, what were you just saying before I started talking?
I was talking about
OJ. That would be an interesting alternate history thing to see. Like, instead of OJ being found innocent, like, OJ's found guilty. I wonder what would happen. I wonder if people would have rioted like they did with Rodney King. I feel like most people, the few black people that I can remember talking to about this in my life were like, oh, I mean, I assumed he was guilty, but it was just good to see him get off, you know?
Yeah.
But I think most people know, like, yeah, I mean, he probably did it. I saw somebody post a thing today that said his son did it, and OJ was just doing it to protect his son.
Was that Jason Kearney?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And but I don't know if he even had a son or if that's true or any of that. But
I've read all that. I went a year or two ago. I went through this. I read Mark Furman's book. I read a book OJ wrote. I read like two or three books relating to all of that. And there's some pretty compelling stuff out there about OJ's son may have done it and all this other stuff. And it was true that's a possibility. But I think about OJ every time I'm late to catch a flight. Like, I'm like, how do you murder two people and then you're late for a flight? Like, you know, all that shit going through your head. I mean, it was a different time. Like, you could pretty much carry a gun through airport security back then and nobody gave a shit. But
what he did? Like, the day of the murder, he caught a flight?
Yeah, he was late for a flight to Chicago and had like very minimal time to make the flight. And, you know, because the limo driver that came to pick him up, I mean, he was a good like 30 minutes late and said that he saw somebody going across the lawn or whatever, which he thought was OJ. So I think about that every time. I'm like, I'm anxious just to not miss this flight. Like, can you imagine you just killed two people and you're like, I gotta go make this flight with blood on my hands. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I just, every time I think about that, I'm like, man, the anxiety you would have just trying to pull that off and be like casual about it, especially if he supposedly had a cut on his finger, which he said that he broke a glass after he found out. And that's what cut him. So I don't know. The whole thing is just pretty, pretty compelling stuff. If you really get into it, and the whole Mark Furman thing, like, I remember thinking like they found out that he was racist or whatever. And then you read the book and it's like, wait a second. He said the N-word when he was rehearsing a play or something. I don't remember what it was. I think that's what it was. He was reading lines from some kind of script. He didn't even say it like in a, it's not like they recorded him saying it, just two guys talking. I mean,
but did that come out during the case? Like, did the jury know that, or?
I think they did.
Or was that just like a media thing?
It was one of those things where the media got a hold of it and that's all they put out there. It was like, oh, he's on tape saying the N-word. And it's like, okay, well, that's awful, but why was he saying it? And then you come to find out he was rehearsing something with somebody else and they recorded it. And then they throw it out there like he goes around saying it all the time. And in one of the books I read, they were talking about how he worked black neighborhoods forever and it was very fair his whole career. He wasn't like ever touted as a racist or anything. It's just one of those examples of how evil the media is. Just like only showing 9 minutes of the whole George Floyd thing when there's so much more to that. The 40 minutes prior to the 9 that they showed the whole country that burned down half the damn country. Caused billions of dollars worth of damage. And then we're like, well, isn't there 40 other minutes? I'm like, that part's not important. Like, well, can we see it? Nah, you don't need to see that. I mean, you can, if you really want to go look for it, you can, it's still out there, but most, I'd say 90% of people haven't seen it. 95% of people haven't seen it. Just like most people haven't heard of Building 7. There's just, I don't know, man.
Yeah. In defense of the government who hides everything and lies to us all the time, if I was running things and wanted things to go a certain way, I would have to lie to everybody too. The only problem is, like, they're doing it for nefarious purposes, you know? But, like, there are certain things that you're like, dude, if I tell everybody this, like, people are going to go nuts. But if I just don't say anything, then in 2 weeks when this resolves itself, then I'll tell them what happened 2 weeks ago. And then, like, the truth will be out there or whatever. But they're lying to, like, make us at war with each other, not to make, like, our kingdom peaceful or whatever, you know?
Right. Yeah. Do we want to move on to that? Is that what we want to start out with, that video of the guy getting shot? I didn't realize it was months ago.
I don't know when it was. Let's see here. Does it say on here? I said at least weeks ago. It was March 21st of 2024.
Okay. So that was fairly recently, but still it's been a few weeks.
Yeah, we can watch any or all of it if you want to.
Yeah, let's watch it.
There's a few different things that I edited out at the end. The whole video was like 30 minutes long, but I got the main thing that everybody's been sharing, and then I also got dude got shot. I don't know if he like a cop got shot either in the hand or in the arm, but it like straight up broke his arm basically. And that's why I said gnarly earlier, because the dude's like, let me see your hand, and like are you okay, because he's bleeding, you know, and he grabs his hand and you can just see it bend wrong, and the dude's like, ah. So
and he shot the cop before they started shooting at him, right?
He was the first to fire as far as I'm aware. I haven't heard anybody refute that he fired first. I didn't slow it down or anything, but I mean, you can see the gun come up in the window, but I don't know, like, there's probably 100 shots that are fired, and I don't know. And the dude gets out of his car like halfway through all of that, and I don't know how they missed him or if they did or what. And I don't know who's shooting. I don't know how many times he shot, but anyway, there it is. So let's just give it a watch.
I know they shot at him 96 times, they say, which I don't know. I don't want to justify anything. Let's just watch the video first.
Unlock the doors now. Open the door now. Open the door now. Open the door now. Officer David, shots fired, shots fired. Shots fired! Fernandon Avers! Fernandon Avers! 10-1! 10-1!
I mean, is the dude still doing stuff? He's driving right there. He pulled up. So the dude's still alive at this point. And now he's out of the car. You can see him at the back of the car, and he's down.
So that white car is his.
Correct. And okay. There's a cop car with its lights going that pulled up in front of him.
Put your window down, man.
Roll the window down.
Hey, this is a different angle.
What are you doing?
Hey, roll this one down,
roll
too.
Roll that one down, too. Hey, don't roll the window up. Don't roll the window up. Hey, do not roll the window up.
Do not fucking roll it up.
Unlock the doors now.
Unlock the fucking door.
Unlock the doors now.
Unlock the fucking door.
Unlock it. Unlock the door now. Open the door now! Open the door now! Open the door now! Shots fired!
St. Louis gun!
Fernandon Avers! Fernandon Avers! 10-1!
Shots fired!
let me see your hand.
Give me your suit. Let me see you.
Oh, what?
He's a... St. Louis is here. Hey, he's here.
My gun right here.
Let me see your hand. Let me see it. Hey, come, you're good, St. Louis. You're good. You're good, brother. You're good. Hey, squad. Officer's hitting the arm. He's good for now. Only one shot to the arm for now. We're all good. Pick it up. You good, brother?
Are you okay?
I'm good.
It's just my hand. All right. Come on.
11:15.
How you doing?
Damn.
It was so hard to tell what the hell was happening. I mean, God bless the people in that neighborhood. How scary would that shit be?
No kidding, dude. Like, I don't know. They say, or at least what people on X were saying, were like, all this just for a seatbelt or something like that, but I don't know how true any of that is. I don't know if why they were pulling the guy over, what was happening with all of that, but if what they say is true, which is that he busted a gun out and fucking shot at them, then all bets are off, or all, you know, the rules go out the window at that point. There's no, like, they should have given him a chance to whatever. Like, no, if a dude pulls a gun at you and shoots at you and you're a cop, you fucking kill the guy.
Yeah. I mean, you'd think they'd be better shots than they were, but
I don't see. And that's what I was asking. Like, I don't know how many times the dude actually shot versus how many times they shot. I don't know how many total cops there were shooting, but I mean, you're taught as a police officer, like, people are like, why don't they just shoot him in the leg or something like that? And it's like, you can't even hit a still not moving bullseye 100% of the time, let alone a guy that's fucking jumping and running all around and stuff. You're going to aim for his moving leg as you're running also. Like, they're just taught to aim for center mass, like the biggest part of the person, fucking just empty. If you get to the point that you have to pull your gun out, you're shooting to kill as a cop. And, like, I don't know, people that think that they're going to get over that fact somehow are just looking for trouble, man.
Yeah, and I think people have seen too many movies, too, as far as, like, just shoot him in the leg. It's very difficult to hit something with a handgun, even if you're experienced. You know, it's not like a Western where a guy just shoots 9 people in the bar. I mean, it's hard to hit anything from any distance with a handgun, especially if you're scared or freaked out and all your other cop buddies are, you know, shooting at this guy that they obviously think is a threat. All I know is that the people who are like, well, if you get pulled over, you put your hands on the steering wheel, you do what you're told, that kind of shit won't happen. There's going to be those people. And there's going to be those people who think that it's all just because the guy was black or whatever. Like, I would be curious to know. Well, I mean, you can find it, the statistics, like how many white guys get shot by the police every year. And I would have never known if it hadn't been for the whole George Floyd thing. But apparently twice as many the year before George Floyd, twice as many white guys got shot as black guys. So I don't know. It's just fuel for whatever you believe, really. It's not like anybody's going to change their mind, however they think at this point, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, as they say, like, one person getting shot by the police is too many. But I don't know. Like, I don't think it's – I think it's as – not racist, but whatever the equivalent term is – to say all cops are terrible as it is to say the same about black people or white people or Mexicans or whatever. Like, every once in a while, a terrible, like, murderous cop fucking kills a guy, and that cop goes to jail, hopefully. I'm sure sometimes, like, he's high up enough on the food chain that he's like, don't fucking say anything to his partner or whatever, and then talks to fucking Sally down in records or whatever. And he's like, delete that body cam footage. And she's like, you got it, Roger. I don't know why they all have 80s names, but like, I'm sure that happens sometimes. And the victims' families are probably like, he fucking murdered him. And they're like, we have no proof of that. But I think that's very rare, you know. I think most of the, and I don't know what the statistics are, I'm just assuming, like I usually do, I think most people that get shot and killed by police didn't happen for no reason. You know what I mean? It wasn't unprovoked. They either had a weapon of some kind, or they were like going after the cop or doing something or whatever. But then there's always that case, like I forget the guy's name, in Minnesota, within the last 5 years or whatever, where the cop was like, let me see your wallet. And the guy was like, all right. And like reached over to get it. And the cop fucking just shot him. And he was like, just getting his wallet, you know? So, and that happens sometimes. And like that, the lady cop that thought she was pulling her taser out and just fucking shot the guy. And then was like, ah, shit. Like, I think she went to jail, you know? Like, if yeah. they fuck up, or if they're murderous bastards, then, yeah, they should be in jail or fired, at least, you know, for a fuck up, you know?
Yeah, man, I don't have the stats in front of me, but the overwhelming amount of people who get shot, white or black or any other, they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing, you know, almost always, you know, and... You know, not to justify anybody getting murdered or whatever, but I don't think it's not necessarily murder if you're, you know, if you're defending yourself or if you think your life is getting... When all that shooting was popping off and the cop was running away all scared and shit, I'm like, in my head, I was thinking, I would never want to be a cop. You know, it's just a very... I don't know. I mean, I guess some chick dig uniforms, but other than that, I don't see the upside.
No. Well, I mean, you can see, and if you watch the long version of that body cam footage, all of the other cops being like, are you all right, man? Like, to one another, you know, and like, oh, and there's a few of them that are just like, fuck, like that was fucking, you know, like, I can't fucking believe that just happened. Like, most cops never have to deal with anything like that, or once in their career or something, you know, like being a cop is, from what I've cops that I've talked to, is kind of fucking boring. A lot of the time, it's a lot of paperwork, a lot of bullshit, a lot of fucking, you know, a guy with weed or warrants or fucking speeding tickets, like stuff like that. It's very rare that you actually have a fucking shootout or even have to pull your gun out, you know? So that's the scariest part to me, is like military guys, if they have to go to war, they're ready because that's how they're trained, you know? Not that cops aren't trained, but in the military, they brag about how if you go to the military, they'll break you down and rebuild you, you know? And it's to get your mindset like ready to kill. And they don't want cops to have that because they don't want cops fucking killing a bunch of innocent people just for mouthing off or whatever. So they don't train them the same way. But then that leads to stuff like this, which is, you know, I feel like a military team would have shot like 5 times in that scenario, you know, and been like, got him. And
yeah.
But the cops were just not prepared enough, and they're just like, ah, fucking
yeah.
Emptying their clips and reloading.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, most police officers aren't involved in those kind of situations, shit, maybe once in their career or a few times in their career, so you're gonna shoot as many times. If there's a threat, you're gonna be like, all right, let's get rid of this threat, you know, and shoot as many times as you can, because you know that you're not gonna hit it 9 times out of 10. You just keep firing until you do hit what you're supposed to hit. It's almost like if you're playing not to compare it to a video game, but it is kind of like a video game. Like, you're playing and you just empty that clip and you shoot off to the side and then you just keep shooting, you know, like, I just have to get rid of these people trying to kill me. And there was something else I was going to say and now I lost it, but,
Well, I found it interesting that they were all like, they weren't in a circle, but they were like, half circle. I'm just surprised none of them shot each other. I don't know if the dude who got shot in the arm that broke his arm, I don't know if he was the initial guy that was standing next to the car, because that's where you see glass fly out from, is from the passenger side of the car. And I don't know if that was the same dude that, I don't know if that's when he got shot or if he got shot in the midst of everything or.
Well, he didn't look like a, like the, he was in like regular clothes, wasn't he?
Yeah, but I think so was the guy who was walking up to the passenger window, just like a hoodie on with a fucking bulletproof vest and stuff. Hmm. So that's what makes me think, like, it wasn't just a seatbelt, as some people were saying on Twitter. Because they had, it wasn't SWAT, but it was like cops with fucking bulletproof vest on, like, ready to do shit. And it was an unmarked car that pulled him over. So that makes me think it's some kind of a, like they were following him kind of thing, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, otherwise it would have been a uniformed cop and there wouldn't have been so many of them at the scene anyway. It's not like they'd be like, hey, we got a guy with no seatbelt. Get everyone in the area over right here now.
Calling all cars.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, that sucks though. That even had to happen, you know, like, It's one of those things where sometimes you just got to be like, well, there go my fucking plans for the next 3 days or for the next day or whatever. Like, you just got to give up, you know, like, this is going to suck, but it's all because of something that I did. Either that or I'm going to sue the fuck out of these guys as soon as this whole thing is over, because I'm 100% innocent of anything, but I'm still going to go to jail today if that's what they decide, you know. You can sometimes talk your way out of it sometimes, but once you get physical, there's nothing you can do.
Right. No, absolutely not. And what you said, I remember what I was going to say now is that's why when you get pulled over by the cops, you're as polite as possible, because if you're polite and you admit that you ran a stop sign or that you were speeding or whatever, most of the time they will let you go because they don't want to fill out that paperwork and shit. They would rather just be like, all right, well, here's your warning not to do that again. But if you're a dick from the start, you know, you're going to get in trouble. You know, they're going to find a reason to get you in trouble. And if you're polite, most of the time, they'll let you go. And I had a black friend who I asked him, we're not friends anymore, but I asked him one time if he ever had trouble with the cops in that regard. And he was like, no, because when I get pulled over, I put my hands on the steering wheel and I say yes, sir, and no, sir. And I'm very polite and they let me go. And I don't know. That shit goes a long way. So when you get pulled over and you pop off of the cops or pull out a gun, you know, bad shit's going to happen, you know? So it's easier for people to be like, oh, well, you shouldn't have done that. Well, what would you have done? You don't fucking know.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess best case scenario, he could have been like, sorry, officer, I do have a gun in here. I'm going to leave my hands right here. Let you open the door. I'm going to get out. You can get the gun, fucking whatever. And they'd have been like, all right, cool, thanks. Thanks for your cooperation. Like, we got to take you in because you're not supposed to have this gun and whatever else the fuck happened, you know?
Yeah.
And he would have been like, all right. And then those cops would have testified at his trial and been like, he was really very polite and nice. And the judge would be like, well, I like that. And then probably giving him like a more lenient sentence. Like, so many things could have gone better in that scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. We probably exhausted this topic. Do we want it? This is probably something we shouldn't dwell on because there's no point in it. But Trump did say in a speech recently that I believe what he said was if he was elected, he would the abortion issue would go to the states, which is how everything is supposed to be. Every state is supposed to decide their own shit. You know, the federal government is supposed to stay out of most things, which he essentially took that talking point away from the Democrats, which is what they've used that talking point for forever, is just a political talking point. they could have codified Roe versus Wade a long time ago, and then it wouldn't even be an issue anymore. But instead, they left it uncodified, or however you would say that, in order to continue to use it. Like, we care about women and Republicans don't, or whatever they said.
I mean, they're still going to say that. They're going to do the same thing they would with any other positive Trump story, and that is they'll just ignore it and won't talk about it. And they'll still go in front of their audiences and stuff and be like, we care about women and they want you barefoot in the kitchen and all that. And their whole audience will be like, fucking Republicans. Like, they just hate, you know. It's funny. I saw, this is somewhat unrelated, but somebody posted a thing about something. Oh, like, they don't show the politics. They don't tell you the politics of famous people because it would make you hate them. People like Mark Twain, and like, they listed a bunch of people. And then one of the people was Helen Keller. And then somebody commented, like, Helen Keller, the blind deaf lady, had politics, like, had political beliefs. And then the person who posted it was like, we don't believe in ableism here, or ableist, or whatever. And I'm just like, if anybody can be, like, officially disabled, it's someone who can neither see nor hear. Like, I can't even imagine. That would be a good, like, documentary to either watch or make if one doesn't exist. And that is, like, how much did Helen Keller really do? Like, she's like a famed author or whatever, but I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, I remember learning about it when I was a kid.
I remember learning the good version of it, which is, what was her name? Like, Miss Sullivan or whatever. Like, taught her things and, like, held an apple and put her fingers in her mouth and all this shit. But I still don't, like, it's, how do you do anything?
I don't know, man. I mean, I find an excuse to get all kinds of shit not done, and I can't imagine being blind and deaf. I just think that would suck so bad. Especially if you never, if you had the ability for a long time and then it was just taken away from you, that would really suck. Like, if you're if you're born without it, then I guess
Like, I can't what see? I don't even know what that word is. Yeah. I wouldn't even know what that sensation is. But yeah, but at least if you're blind, you can still hear, you know, and you can still be like, I guess you wouldn't say I can't see anything because you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Or if you're deaf, at least people could be like, come here, here's food, take it. And instead of just everything just being a mystery. I don't know, man.
Yeah. Anyway. And before we watch any more videos, we should probably talk about the Ashley Biden diary that was found a long time ago. But the lady who found it, they say she stole it, and they made that a federal issue as well.
Well, I think, didn't she try to sell it to the Bidens first?
I don't know about that one. She may have.
I don't know. I know that she ended up selling it. I don't know if. And I do know that there's a recording by somebody who recorded Ashley Biden calling them and being like, that's all my stuff. And I would like it back, please. And they're like, okie doke, like, we'll get it all to you, I guess. I don't know if that was Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, at that point, or if that was the girl who's now in jail that she was talking to on the phone. But I know, I think it was Project Veritas did end up, like, paying for the stuff, like, thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars, if I remember correctly. So, I mean, I can see how if certain shit happened in the proper order, like, if that chick found all the stuff, then Ashley Biden called and said, hey, that's my stuff. And then that person was like, oh, fuck, Ashley Biden, and then started rifling through everything and then called Project Veritas and was like, hey, have I got a scoop for you? And they're like, we'll give you a bunch of money for it. Like, I can see how that would be illegal if Ashley Biden's like, that's mine. Don't sell it. But I don't know if that's the order that stuff happened in. So I'm just talking out of my ass, which is exactly what I do.
And we should have called it that. We're talking out our ass podcast. But I think the most important thing to take away from it is it says in the diary that she was uncomfortable because he would shower with her all the time up until her teenage years, which is just freaking weird to me. I mean, I guess it's a common thing for people to shower with their kids up to a certain age, but I don't know. I would never do that. No matter how young my kid was, I never took a bath with them or any of that stuff. I don't know. But to shower with your teenage daughter is just creepy as fuck. And can you imagine if Trump had ever done that, if they had found one of his daughter's diaries saying that he used to come in? I mean, it would be a front page news story forever. The mainstream media, if they got a hold of that, would be like,
he'd probably be in prison right now.
Yeah. I mean, just off the diary entry alone, he would be in prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just a perfect example of the two-tiered justice system and the media being as corrupt as they are, you know, that they don't talk about these things and that I don't watch mainstream media, to be fair, but I highly doubt they've ever shown Joe Biden sniffing children and touching them. And those videos you've seen that are just completely creepy as hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the situation was reversed, I mean, you know, there's stuff out there that's completely made up, just unnamed sources about Trump, and people read that or say that stuff like it's gospel, you know, like, oh, remember Trump raped a 13-year-old? And like, that was completely just made up shit, you know, like, oh, I read it on Twitter. It happened. Well, okay.
Yeah, that billionaire guy who can fuck any legal person that he wants to.
Yeah.
Wanted a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that everything that I just said is true of Jeffrey Epstein. So I guess it's not completely out of the question, but I don't think that he did it. And if he did, and there was any evidence of it, he would be in prison right now. That would be one of the things that they were trying to charge him with.
That's also part of the reason I think that I still believe that. I don't even think Jeffrey Epstein, people are always saying, well, he didn't kill himself. I don't think he's dead. I think he's alive somewhere. I think that guy probably had so much video footage of famous people and people higher up in the government doing nefarious shit with underage girls, especially, or boys, that he's probably on an island somewhere or being taken care of somehow. He got, you know, I don't know. I would be surprised if he was even dead, you know.
Yeah, I would not be surprised. But okay, we'll move on to this is a lady giving Trump a hug. It's just a nice little video, and the lady's cool, and Trump is just a fucking cool dude, and he should be president.
Well, he will be if there's any legitimacy to it at all.
This is Clark Atlanta. This is Stoneman. This is Morehouse. This is Morris Brown.
Isn't that great?
So I don't care what the media tells you, Mr. Trump. We support you. Okay, 4 p.m. We've been 4 p.m.
Come here. Let me give you a hug.
Please do.
That made me laugh.
Yeah. He's such a racist piece of shit.
He really is. Okay, so I wanted to play that first before I play this lady who's telling us the opposite of what we just saw.
Yeah, this is so delusional.
As soon as he takes the oath, he will have generals walk down the steps of the Capitol. He will take a hammer and break the glass where the Constitution is, and he will tear it up in our faces and say, now, I'm the king of the fucking world. You will bow down, bitch. bitches. He will punish everybody that didn't vote for him. Let me tell y'all how I know this shit. I know it because I know what mental illness looks like. That mania is unstoppable. See, this motherfucker's Hitler. He didn't come to play.
She knows what mental illness is because she sees it in the mirror every day.
I like the person that was interviewing her just going, yeah. You know, she was nodding while she was saying it.
Who was that?
I'm not, I have no idea.
But yeah, I think that it's very few people who actually believe that shit, but even if he broke the glass and pulled out the Constitution and ripped it in half, that doesn't make it null and void. There's still things in place. People are so ignorant about what the founding fathers did and how they set it up. You know, like, you can't just be present and be like, all right, now we're going to start murdering anybody who's not white and the Constitution doesn't mean shit anymore. Like, there's so many people who, I shouldn't say so many, I have no idea, but there are people who believe what that woman just said, which is crazy.
Of course there are, yeah. No, but it's it reminds me of, I think it was Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where they like, they were like, oh, that's the contract, and they balled it up and like ate it or something, and the guy was like, I have a copy of it, like, it's still, like, eating it doesn't void the contract.
Yeah.
So that would just, I don't know, that would be funny if Trump ate the Constitution and was like, no more Constitution. And they're like, ah.
Yeah, and it's so opposite of the truth, which is that the Democrats are the ones who are just like, they're so blatantly ignorant about the Constitution. Even Joe Biden, he'll say shit and you're like, no, dude, it says in the Constitution, this right shall not be infringed upon. That means that you cannot change this. That's what that means. And he's like, well, things can change. Like, no, they can't, stupid. They put it in place so it couldn't. That's what those words mean.
I mean, they could make another amendment to the Constitution, but they could try to. It's not going to, there's not enough of them to pass. I think you have to have 2/3 majority in both houses to pass or like make a new amendment to the Constitution, but in theory, if they had the support, they could just void the Second Amendment. And I wouldn't be surprised if that happened if we keep going down the road that we're on now, where we just let them tell us who won and the media just lies to us and shit. Like, if we get enough people like that in Congress, I bet they would vote to just void the fucking, they'd probably void the whole Constitution and be like, we'll just write a new one, a better one that just doesn't happen to include that you guys get guns and get to say whatever you want and peaceably assemble and no more religion, because religion's bad.
Well, there's so many things that we have gotten away from the Constitution, especially taxes. I don't know if we have the video. I don't even think I sent it to you, but I came across this girl talking about how we're taxed on literally everything.
Oh, yeah. I think I've seen multiple versions of that video where it's like, you know, I give you $100, they tax you on it, and then you buy something with it, they tax you on it when you buy it, they tax them on it when they sell it, they fucking... There's another one that compares using a card versus paying cash. And like, if somebody buys a t-shirt from me for $25, if they give me cash, they give me $25. If they swipe a card, I get like $22.83 or something like that, because the company that I swipe my card on takes their percentage, you know? So it's, but that's how every single swipe is everywhere. Somebody's paying somebody else to run that transaction for them. So that's why at gas stations, sometimes you'll see like a 10% price difference if you pay cash versus paying with a card. So, yeah. But that's just the bullshit, because it's like, that's our money, and it should be equal to money. I guess that's kind of an argument for a, what do they call it, a CBDC, a central bank digital currency, where the government does all that shit, does all of the processes, all of the card swipes and stuff, so you don't get charged for it. It's like a government thing, but that sounds like that would end up costing fucking billions of dollars to basically the government would have to be our banking system. It's all fucked up. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and the gist of it, the bottom line is that half the taxes we pay aren't even constitutional, and it's the reason we got away from Britain in the first place. And it's just gross, the shit that we, and then we don't get, you know, taxation without representation. It's like, well, I never said I wanted half my, or all my taxes to go to Ukraine or whatever. And they do that shit all the time. And that's why that's the biggest reason they hate Trump so much, is because, you know, I've said this the entirety of this podcast, he came along and was like, hey, you're screwing the American people here. And they're like, we make a lot of money screwing them, so just shut up. We'll give you a cut. And he's like, I don't need your cut. I'm a billionaire. And they're like, fuck this guy. We get rid of it. You know? What is this video here?
This is COVID related stuff. Still just drip, drip, dripping out. Little details here and there, and eventually we'll look back and make one documentary about how they lied about everything on purpose the entire time. But it's basically just him saying that it was made in a lab and probably released on accident. As I've said before, if it was released on purpose, they would have released it in multiple spots throughout the globe so that it could spread evenly across the world without mutating and shit. Because it killed a lot more people in the first few months or whatever than it did once we got into the whatever the different versions were, Delta and Omicron and all of that stuff. Like, the original COVID was the deadliest one. And so, yeah, if they were trying to infect the world with a deadly pathogen on purpose, they would have put people in multiple spots instead of just accidentally releasing it from one place, or purposefully.
Yeah. All right. Let's watch the video.
One thing that's universally true about animal viruses that break into the human kingdom, from the animal kingdom to the human kingdom, is they're clunky. They don't infect humans very well because they've evolved and adapted. Natural selection has selected for ones that infect that animal well. And so when they infect humans, they try it many times until they get lucky, and then they get a mutation where it can infect other humans. The best example of this is 2002, 2003, when the first SARS virus came out. It had a 10% mortality rate, which is, you know, that's like 30 times worse than the current COVID-19 we had, but it only infected 8,000 people. Why? It just didn't infect humans very well. And when they went back and did testing, they found that it infected civets well, and also bats. So one of the cool things that I've discovered about COVID-19 is they borrowed Oracle's supercomputer, a scientist from Australia, and they wanted to see which animal that the virus would attach best to. So they tested it with humans and like dozens of other animals, and lo and behold, it didn't attach to any animals very well. It attached perfectly to humans. This does not happen. It's almost proof positive that this was manipulated in the lab. And what you do in the lab is you actually speed up evolution, and you direct evolution, because you keep infecting mice that have human lung markers. So it thinks it's infecting a human lung, and you do it over and over again. You get the sickest mouse and the one with the highest viral load. You take that out and you infect the mice again. And each time you pass it through the virus, you get the sickest and the most infected mouse, and you do it again. You're selecting for the worst, the most deadly, the most efficiently. And this is what the scientists found. Alina Chan from MIT, she said it looked pre-adapted, and this is what convinced her. What really was sort of the smoking gun, though, is we discovered that the way the virus is genetically constructed is virtually identical to a research project from 2018 that had Dr. Barrick from UNC, Dr. Shi from Wuhan, and Dr. Peter Daszak from New York. They actually applied for money to create something that looks very suspiciously like COVID-19. They didn't get the money for it, but almost everybody believes now that Dr. Xi in China went ahead and did that project, created that virus, probably to create a vaccine, and probably it was an accident that it leaked out. But we have all of this evidence now, and yet it has been like pulling teeth to get a Democrat anywhere in Congress to sign even a records release. And I tell these people all the time, look, I'm a Republican, but if a Democrat comes to me ever and asks me if I'm the chairman of a committee to sign a records release, I will never turn them down. I can't imagine ever turning down a records release from our government. And yet I have had to use blocking nominations, blocking legislation, tying things up in order to get them to finally sign letters. And lo and behold, even when I finally got a Democrat to sign letters to get COVID records, the Biden administration won't give it to me. It's not even classified, but they won't give us the records.
It's really, it's shocking, and your book describes it so well. I really hope everyone in our audience reads it.
Interesting.
Yeah, super interesting. I wonder if any of those fuckers will ever get what's coming to them, especially Fauci and all of them.
I don't know. Alternate histories. Maybe there's a version of us where they do, and there's a version of us where they do not. Where do we want to go from here? Either there was like a, I don't know if it was a flood or like a river going through or what, but there was this bridge that collapsed and people fell into the water, and I'm pretty sure they died, but it's interesting. We can watch that if you want.
All right.
It's like a footbridge, so there's just 100 people on each side, and they're like, it's about to go, but people are still like, I need to get over there.
What the fuck do you do?
You just see heads out in the water. Yeah, I don't know if that was a big flood thing or what, but
that was anxiety inducing. Like,
yeah, I know, dude.
Doing what you're doing.
But that's what I was saying. Like, people on both sides were like, "I need to fucking get over there. That's where I need to be," you know?
Yeah. Oh, God. I couldn't help it. I'm like,
Yeah, I hope everybody's okay. I don't think that they are, but fingers crossed.
India or something?
Something. It was India or something.
Jesus.
Did you hear about the NPR thing the other day?
No.
NPR did a, I don't know if he did an interview or if he just like blew the whistle and put a thing out himself or what, but he said like 100% of NPR's editorial board is like Trump hating Democrats, and like they, what was the, like the Biden laptop thing. Whoever at NPR was like, yeah, we're not doing that because that didn't really happen. And then they found out that it probably did really happen. And they were like, man, it's a good thing we're not talking about this because it would really help Trump. And like those kind of things, basically just saying that that they're super one sided and fucking lying all the time. But here's Vivek Ramaswamy summing it all up nicely.
A left-leaning liberal journalist at NPR just came out and did something very surprising, very brave, very courageous, actually, and I respect him for it. He called out a denigration of their standards and called out why it is that NPR no longer represents the views of all Americans. but speaks to a tiny sliver of the overall population, while effectively spitting in the face of the rest, lying to the general public about the Trump-Russia collusion hoax that never was, the Hunter Biden laptop story that we now know was true, but was systematically suppressed and rejected by mainstream media, including NPR, on the eve of the last presidential election. The origin of COVID-19, the idea that it could be a lab leak, systematically derided and suppressed before we now know it to be true. I think it takes a lot of courage. As somebody who probably disagrees with this journalist on a lot of things based on his self-stated views, I can still respect that he's working in an institution that has one hegemonic set of views, and he defected from that. Now, people may say that NPR has always been liberal. What were you thinking? Of course it has been. I listened to NPR growing up on my way to school. That was what our carpool driver used to play when driving us to junior high school and high school. But it's not the same left-leaning NPR then that exists today, just as it's not the same Harvard or the same Yale that exists today compared to the institutions that I went to 15 years ago. I graduated from Harvard in 2007. Was it left-leaning? You're darn right it was. Was I a bit of a heterodox contrarian on campus as somebody with strong libertarian leanings? I was. Even a few years later, I went to Yale Law School from 2010 to 2013. I was one of the very few conservative-leaning, openly, certainly conservative-leaning classmates in my class. But was it the same institution that it is today? No, it's something else altogether. It's not a liberal bias that's at work. There's something else. It's an illiberal rejection of dissent. You see, it used to be a liberal idea. You could even call it a progressive idea, that you were allowed to say whatever you wanted and that you had the right to say it. It used to be people on the right that resisted that and people on the left who said they were the free speech absolutists. Well, what's happened now is a reversal of that commitment to a culture of free speech, both in our country and within an institution. And that's different than whether or not you have a liberal or conservative leaning. And that's what makes this NPR reporter's defection. That's what it is. He's defected from his class. He's a traitor to his class. That's what makes his move all the more admirable. And whether you're a liberal or conservative, you got to respect somebody who sticks it to the man in their own institution and speaks the truth, not just when it's easy, but when it's hard. And I'll always give credit where credit is due.
Boom.
Yeah. I like Vivek Ramaswamy. I don't like just saying his name, which I do, but,
yeah, I like him too. I like, I haven't seen him say anything that I'm like, well, I don't know about that. Yeah. I've heard people complain about him, the fact that he's rich, and they try to quote him saying shitty things about Trump and January 6th and stuff like that. But his defense of that was that it's sarcastically written in the book. It's like the beginning of a chapter where he's like, Trump's terrible and this and that. And January 6th was an insurrection. And then all of that's like in italics or whatever. And then the first paragraph is like, we know all of this not to be true. It doesn't say that exactly, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, yes, it was written in the book, but he wasn't saying it truthfully. He was saying it like ironically or quotationally or whatever. Yeah. But I don't even know if that's true because I haven't read the fucking book. Maybe somebody has. Share us in the comments. All right. Do you want to watch this envelope thing from the Bush's funeral one more time, and then we'll call it quits for the day?
Yeah, this would be a good thing to close it out on.
So for those of you that don't know, during Bush Sr.'s funeral, all the important political people were there. And they all got these packets that I assume were just like information packets or whatever, probably had like the obituary and like some pictures or whatever in there. But they all had a little envelope in there and nobody knows what was in the fucking envelope. But all of them open it up, kind of look at it and then put it away more quickly than you would something funeral related. If it was funeral related, you would look at it, you would maybe pull out whatever's in it, read a card or something like that, you know, thanks for coming to the funeral or whatever it is. Like, but nobody reacted like that. They opened it and then they closed it immediately as if it was like a photograph of something they knew they were guilty of. Or you can tell how quickly they all react. It wasn't sentences of shit. if it was words, it was one or two words that they all would have had to know. Otherwise, if it didn't make sense to them, they would be like, what is, I don't understand what this is. I think one of them does do like a, what's this? Anyway, play it and we'll all watch it together.
I think Biden's the one that's confused because he's a dumbass. But here.
See, I don't even think Jeb saw it. I mean, she looked at it for enough time that it could have said, thank you for coming today, or please send donations to whatever. Or, like, it could be something totally innocent. But I also think with all of the people that were there at that funeral, somebody by now could have been like, oh, the envelopes, they were just this. But I don't think anybody has. So that's what makes me think something fishy was going on.
Yeah, I thought it was weird how they all like looked at it at different times, almost like there was a note on the envelope that said, make sure you open this or look at the envelope that's in here. Because otherwise, you know, some people would never look at it until after the funeral or whatever. But there's a video out there that's a little bit longer with Jeb Bush looking very distraught about whatever he read. And even that video there, even though they had a pretty good poker face, Michelle shows it to Barack. And to me, I saw kind of a concerned look on his face, and you could see him glancing down at it again, like, oh shit. And Hillary, I think she's the most rotten of all of them, because she's like, she knows, she holds it up to her face so no one else can see it. And she quickly puts it away. And Carter didn't get one because he was a terrible president, but he's also, like, by all accounts, a Boy Scout, you know. And then Biden just looked confused, which is pretty par for the course for him. But, you know, and of course there's people out there saying, like, it says sorry, they know everything and all that shit. Like, it was a message from George Bush Sr. And then we've talked about the wrinkled flag that indicates someone is a traitor. If they get a wrinkled flag, McCain supposedly got one. George Bush supposedly got one. So who knows? But, especially the video with Jeb, I mean, he takes his hand off his heart and looks like he's about to vomit for a second, which we didn't see in that video, but it's out there.
And
last night I watched a little bit longer version too, and I like stopped it and somebody said that Laura Bush was saying, is this true? And George Bush Jr. goes, yep. And you can kind of see that if you watch it, you can kind of see his mouth saying yep and her saying something like, is this true? So I don't know. I don't know if it's just bullshit, you know. It seems like if they were going to make up something, that they wouldn't have done it at his funeral, as far as like if they were all in on it, you know.
To me, it just, the only thing that makes me question it is the fact that people have been talking about it for so long and nobody's run a story on, like, these stupid conspiracy theorists. They think this innocent envelope is something nefarious, but really all it is this. Like, that story would have come out by now if it was something that everybody there got, or something that wasn't a big deal or wasn't supposed to be secret, you know?
Yeah, so, one of those people would have came out and been like, we've seen this story and we'd like to debunk this theory because this is what we got and we all got it. But you don't see a video of Trump opening in the letter. You don't see one of Jimmy Carter opening that letter. It's all the people that we think are dirty. And to me, Jeb Bush was the most telling of all of them. He just had no poker face for it at all. He was just like, oh, shit, what?
Well, but it was also at the exact moment that the coffin of his dead father was being carried by. So it could have totally just been like a, you know, just looking at the coffin and, oh, dad, kind of thing. Like that. That's what I've heard from somewhere else. Like, I just like to, there's no definitive proof one way or the other that either thing is the case. I honestly have no idea, but I leave it open. I'm ready to be convinced one way or the other.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if this year just comes to pass and Trump either doesn't get elected, I've said this 100 times, but if I don't see it just playing out where we have an election and he wins and all of a sudden he's the president come January, I don't see it coming out that cleanly, them letting him become the president. And if he does, if all this stuff doesn't somehow come to light, then it's going to be hard to think that it wasn't all bullshit, at least on some level. It's just so much stuff that it's hard to believe that nothing is going to come of this one way or the other. You know, like they're going to do something really crazy to keep him out of the White House, or if he gets elected and then doesn't declassify or show the American people, like, this is what they did. They killed JFK. Obama spied on my campaign. We're going to convict him of that. We're going to convict Hillary Clinton with Benghazi and all this other shit that, you know, that the Clintons and Obamas are accused of, the Bushes are accused of. 9/11 wasn't what we thought it was. If none of that stuff comes out, I'm going to be very disappointed one way or the other, you know?
Yeah. Well, they're already, like, before, and we'll wrap up on this point, before the election in 2020, Bernie Sanders famously, and other people, but his was the most famous video of it, of saying, the night of the election, it's going to look like Trump won, but then those mail-in ballots are going to come in, and you're going to see that Biden actually won. And that was them, like, prepping the narrative. So when that exact thing happens, they could go, see, we knew that's what was going to happen. I think they're trying to do the same thing again with Trump right now by saying, when Trump, if he becomes president again, he's going to go after all of his enemies. And so they're making themselves victims. So when Trump does become president again, and his DOJ or local prosecutors, the same way they're doing with Trump right now, ends up going after the Bidens or the Clintons or something like that, they're going to be like, see, this is what we fucking said. He's only going after us because he hates us. And that's going to be in people's heads because they're already putting it in their heads that Trump's going to go after his enemies.
Yeah.
So I'm agreeing with you, kind of. Like, there's no way to cleanly just win the election and become president and everything's normal. Like, there has to be some big, giant revelation of some kind that's going to make people go, oh, fuck. Well, it'll make normie people go, oh, fuck. It'll make me and you go, this is it. This is the thing that we've been talking about. But,
well, just like COVID, I mean, you and I, within a month of it, were like, this is all bullshit. And, you know, and now that stuff is finally coming out. I mean, I think most people are like, wow, we got kind of duped on that one.
I think most people, yeah, but not all people for sure. There's still people that are like, I got to go get my booster because I don't want COVID as bad as I had it last year. Luckily, I was vaccinated, though, so it wasn't as bad as it would have been. But the only thing keeping me alive are these boosters, so I better go get another one.
Like, which is just the craziest thing to me. I mean, that the whole thing was like, I don't know, you can get it and you can have it and not know it and pass it on to people. And we've got this vaccine, which will make it less bad than it would if you didn't have the vaccine. It's like, well, that's not how vaccines work. Like, if you get the chickenpox vaccine, you don't get chickenpox. You don't get a mild version of measles or whatever. I mean, not to my knowledge, you don't. But this is the first time in history, like, well, this is a different thing. Like, is it?
Yeah, I mean, they literally had to, Merriam-Webster changed the definition of what vaccine is. I don't know if they changed the original definition, but they at least added another number to it, you know. And they were like, a vaccine's also mRNA gene therapy, untested fucking brand new science thing. I don't know, but it's, shit's all fucked up.
Yeah, man, we'll see. We'll see. My dentist today, he's on board with everything we say pretty much. And he was saying, like, he thinks they're going to JFK Trump. And I'm like, they had to have already tried that. They had to have. I mean, you know, that's the only way they're going to get rid of this guy, you know, is either to. I mean, I've said this before, too. They cheated in the election that he won. I just don't think they cheated enough, and they knew better in 2020. And in 2024, they don't have mail-in balloting, at least not the way they did last time. So I don't know. I mean, I hope I'm wrong about everything. I hope the election comes and goes, and there's no 9/11 event or cyber attack or any of that shit, but I've got some time off coming up, and I'm going to have my family as prepared as humanly possible. I would love to move out of this state because I think this is going to be a bad state to live in if it all goes awry. But thank God we live in the suburbs. It won't be quite as bad as living in a city or something.
But, yeah, got to get out of California. There's plenty of cool places to move.
Well, my dad lives on, like, I don't know, 80 acres of land or something. That'd be a pretty good place to, you know, and he lives on a hill that's kind of like, you could see people coming from quite a ways away, yes. You know.
Yeah, you should sell your house and build a new one on your dad's land.
Yeah, I don't know about all that, but.
Buy 10 acres from him.
Yeah, well, it's not really like flat land either, but.
It's all right.
I still don't. I want to get out of here for a variety of reasons, except the weather. God, it's so freaking nice here, dude.
That'd be cool to build a house on a hill and have the inside of the house, not like up incline, but just like, you know, one flat thing and then stairs. And then the next level is over there, but it's like all built on the hill. Does that make sense?
Yeah, kind of. Or we could dig a moat around our house and put alligators in it and shit.
Yeah, they would probably, I don't think they just stay in the water, though. You'd have to build a good moat that perpetrators could easily jump into so they could get attacked by the alligators, but that the alligators could not easily climb out of.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're fucking going to pick up the paper, and you get fucking alligatored. And you're like, damn it, I thought they were in the moat. And they're like, they don't just stay in the moat. They're fucking alligators. They want to come out and walk around and stuff.
Yeah, well, it's all not going to happen anyway. But anyway. All
right, so this weekend I'm in Nebraska doing comedy shows on the 12th, which is Friday. I'll be in Campbell, Nebraska at a place called Scooter Rains Bar and Grill. And on the 13th, I'll be in Hazard, Nebraska at a place called The Den, which used to be called The Wolf's Den. But I think whoever bought it now just took the word wolf off the sign so they could have like an original name but not have to buy a new sign. And then next week I will be at Vorshay's in Wichita, Kansas, opening up for Nick Hoff. Do you know who that is?
No.
Me neither. But I've heard that he's funny.
Cool. And so, I will be at the Des Moines Funny Bone at the end of the month, the 26th and 27th. I would like to sell as many tickets as I can because I'm getting a door deal there.
Nice.
So yeah, make sure you go to funnybone.com and go to the Des Moines location and buy a ticket to see me headline that club, and then my schedule just goes to complete shit until like the fourth quarter. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, mine's not looking terrible right now, but I'm still super duper behind. Throw some tips in there, folks. Because as I say in my comedy special, I'm about 49 nutsacks in the hole. And most people probably don't understand what that means, but I have debt is the point.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're ending this on a good time because I think my family just got here. So I'm going to go say hello to them.
Sweet. And, all right.
Man, everybody.
Yeah. Sorry. What he said. All right. I feel like I'm on the phone with my grandma. Okie doke. Okay. Bye. Oh, you too. Bye.
All right. God bless all of you. Goodbye.